Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As was mentioned earlier for this Christian Education Sunday, we refer to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. My dear brothers and sisters, Mr. and Mrs. Winters, Mr. Griebel, Mr. Eichmeyer, Mr. Meisinger, they're all people you've probably never met or even heard of. Yet I've known them for over 60 years. Four of the five, I'm aware that they've already been called to glory. I'm not as sure of the fifth one because I've lost contact and connections with him. I remember them because they were my grade school teachers at St. Paul's Lutheran School in Frankenlos Township in Bay City, Michigan. I was privileged, after grade school, to attend Michigan Lutheran Seminary, Northwestern College in Watertown, and Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary in Mequon. And could, if we wanted to spend the time, give you the names of all my teachers and professors at those schools as well, many of whom have also been called to glory. But as I attended classes that taught about the art of teaching and how it was done and how it should be done, I look back with thanksgiving at the many fine teachers I have had, all of whom have played a role in who I am and what I believe and what I know to be true. They all taught me about language, grammar, math, history, but most importantly, they taught me about my Savior, my Lord, and my salvation. But it didn't all start at St. Paul's Lutheran School. It started with my first two teachers, Floyd and Hilma Schoerlein, my dad and my mom. At 2 weeks old, they brought me to baptism, where God in His grace made me His child and an heir of eternity. They made sure that no matter what, that on Sunday morning, we were in church as a family. Usually, one of the first ones in, and known also to be among the first ones out of the parking lot. How that worked, we'll explain another time. But we were there, rain or shine, work or travel. Worship was not an option. They sent me to St. Paul's, where in 8th grade I was confirmed. They paid the extra expense, which permitted me to go to Michigan Lutheran Seminary. The only one in my class who went there, and the only one in my congregation at that time who went there, they supported me in my years at Northwestern College in Watertown and at our nearby Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. I share all this because I believe it equipped me to share with you the importance of Christian education and the privilege we have to utilize it and to support it. On this Christian Education Sunday, we want to focus on the blessings that come in Christian education as we continue to learn our lessons for following God and then share those lessons with our children and generations to come. From Deuteronomy, we read about the children of Israel as they were coming to the close of their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. It's a long time, you might think, to be paying for their disobedience in the wilderness, yet the promised land was now near. Moses, though he really wanted to, would have liked to go into the promised land, but was prohibited from entering this land because he chose one time to steal honor for himself rather than give honor to God. But before he would leave his people, this rebellious people, this people that was a difficult group to lead, who were no doubt challenged to him, Moses instructed them again in the will of God. He reviewed for them the Ten Commandments, which the Lord had given at Mount Sinai. The majority of the people, well, that were gathered there, again because of disobedience in the wilderness, well, the older ones had all died. These are those who were 21 years or younger at that time, 40 years ago. Only they were permitted to go into the land of milk and honey. And those few needed to have a review of the lessons which no doubt their parents taught them. It was important for them to remember what the Lord had taught them on the holy mountain. So Moses shared the commandments with his people. And again, he told the people, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. This was known for the Jews as the great statement of faith, the great Shema, Hebrew for listen, pay attention, hear me. And then comes the words that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength. It's a reference that Jesus quoted when asked what the greatest commandment was. He said, love the Lord your God with everything you are and have. We need to learn that lesson again and again, because too often we love ourselves with our whole heart and soul and strength. And everything revolves around our schedules and our desires and our love and our lives. And where's God? On a good day, maybe comes in second, huh? Listen, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, the only one who created us, sustains us, redeemed us, and made us his own. How dare anything come before him? The very first commandment, you are to have no other gods. Listen and obey. Listen and follow and apply what God is teaching. I know we've learned these lessons from little on. We know about God, his power and his love. But is he really number one? Hard to imagine that, but in any case, when he is there, when we think about all the things that are happening, is God present right now? When stores need to close because they're losing too much merchandise through being stolen? When we think of all the pirates on the West Coast, that's a new one. They're robbing boats and stealing boats off the harbor. When guns are used to end arguments, we think of this. Where is God? There is so much striving. There's so much difficulty. And Jesus now wants us to know he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one we need to follow. Not based on some opinion or some personal ideologies. Folks, we need to learn our lessons again. We need to listen to Moses as he tells us to put the commandments and the will of God first and foremost in our lives. For as we review and refresh these laws that God has given us, the will of God, we not only see how badly we have failed, but how deeply we need someone to rescue us and save us, which wonderfully leads us then to consider and know the gospel, to know the one who lived the perfect life in our place, paid the price for our sins, who gave his death for our life. That's the gospel message. We need to hear it. We need to learn it over and over again. Lost in sin, found and recovered by our Savior, and promised eternity with him. This isn't just like a dessert that comes at the end of the meal, that at times you're maybe so full you'll just pass. No, this is the meal of life, the bread of life that sustains, nourishes, and saves us. This is the gospel. The gospel which we have been instructed to share as Moses told the Israelites. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. At every opportunity, parents, we're to teach our children. When you sit with them at home, travel with them, it was walking for the Israelites, probably for us in the car. They were to train their children to know the Lord who created them and sustains them. But someone once asked the question, I wonder how much Jesus talk is talked in our homes. Jesus talk, as we share devotions, join in prayers, maybe sing hymns. Read the Bible. Talk about what we learned in worship today. Talk about Sunday school lessons. Read our meditations. How much faith talk is evident in our homes? It's a serious question, and one I too am equipped to answer, since family devotions were not a thing in my home growing up. I knew my folks believed, but devotion time or prayer time wasn't a given. And I must confess, it wasn't always what it should have been in raising my own children. But I thank God when we're able to be with our grandchildren at bedtime and the evening songs and the prayers are sung. Always need to remember which family we're with because they have different songs and different prayers that they use. But they all offer their prayers at night, joining together to thank God for the day. To hear them pray at the dinner table. To hear them pray and thank God and be in worship. God has been good. Now you may say, I don't have the time. Our schedules do not permit us to do all this. And maybe, folks, our schedules are too full. We can make the time for the things we want, but how about the things for the Lord, the things we really need? And this is why Christian education is so important. It starts and stays in the home, but it's assisted by dedicated Christian teachers in our schools, such as ours. There, nearly a third of the day, our children are in the environment where Jesus is taught and sought. At a time when there are so many other goods and gods and opinions just fighting for our children's attention and for them to follow, our school assists us in impressing with our children the importance of knowing and following Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. They'll be inundated with other options. They'll be inundated with other opinions, calling sins choices, calling lifestyle choices, calling genders choices, calling faith in God simply another choice. God said, impress on them the truth. Use and support the blessings God provides us and bring these truths to our children. Impress them. Pray for our teachers and staff, pastors and parents, that these wonderful truths of God and his deep love are impressed on the next generation. Make it obvious for everyone. It's basically what Moses was saying, wasn't it? When he wrote, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. He wasn't telling people to do these things literally, which some faithfully practice, but to have these wonderful gospel messages always before us. Today, we might have said, put a sticky note on your mirror in your bathroom, on your refrigerator door. Put it on the door of your bedroom when you're walking out. Put it on the door of the house as you leave. Put it on your coffee cup. Put the message on the dash of your car. He was saying, remember these commands. They will not change. Don't forget them. Study them. Learn them. Relearn them. Memorize them. Live them and impress them on the next generation. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, uncles and aunts, cousins and friends, thank God for the love he showed that you might be his own and live under him in his kingdom. Serve him as you impress on your children and the next generation those same wonderful truths. Support the efforts of Christian education on all levels, grade school, high school, and college. Let it be known through our lives that the mission statement of our school and church, which is to know Christ and to make Christ's love known in our homes, communities, nation, and the world, is not just some saying on a wall in the school or a plaque in church or some fancy slogan, but it's the way of life in our lives. Folks, let's learn our lessons for following God and impress them on our children for generations to come. For when we are called to glory, like all those wonderful teachers that I had, then when we're called to glory, those are the only lessons that'll be eternal, that'll last. The rest will be gone. God is forever. Impress that on the next generation and be impressed yourself by God's love. Amen. And now may the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding keep your hearts and minds in that true faith from generation to generation, impressing the love of Jesus Christ till we all stand with him in glory everlasting. Amen.